apologize for that. It was a rough morning. You know, I've never... having a kid is different than, you know, not having a kid. And, I mean, our baby's, what, a year now? And, I mean, I got up, like 7 a.m. And I said, oh, honey, what time did the baby get up? And she said, 6:30. And I was like, oh, you poor soul. Like, I got to sleep a little bit longer than you. And she's like, yes, you did. And I was, like, tempted to keep you sleeping a little bit longer. But my Emerson, she stands at our bedroom door and, like, bangs on it. Hello, 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 hello. So that's how I was woken up this morning, which is cute in a lot of ways, as if we're, you're like, I could have used a little bit more sleep, but that's okay. But anyway, before we go into the Lord's word, let's just pray and ask for his help and his guidance today. Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you that you have saved us. We thank you that you came to this earth and you walked amongst us. God, your love for us is out of this world, and we thank you so much for that. God, as we just open up your word today, I just pray that you encourage our hearts, that you just use me as your vessel here today, and that you would encourage our hearts today and help us to just learn a little bit more about you today. In Jesus' name, amen. So I as I was preparing for this message, lots of thoughts came through my mind. Well, first of all, what should I preach on, right? That's like, that is like probably the hardest part, I think, of sermon prep, is to think, what am I going to preach on, right? Because these, like, I look out here and I see a whole lot of my mentors sitting here. And so what can I present to my mentors that they don't already know or whatever? Like, what can I bring to them that would encourage them? Because you guys know a lot more than I do, and I am very thankful for that. So it's hard for me. Like, I'm thinking, like, oh, what should I do? What should I do? So I'm praying about that, and I'm thinking, and a lot of different things came to my mind. So I prepared, like, 3 or 4 of them. So just in case, you know, like, I was like, okay, well, I don't know. And then when I get up there, maybe, like, I'll know what I'm going to talk about, which is not what happened, by the way. So don't feel like I didn't put any thought into this, because I did. I did. And the Lord, I mean, I am like, I chat a lot, as most of you know. I like to talk, and I like to tell stories. So again, that is where I'm going to go. I love Old Testament stories. They are one of my favorite places to go. They teach us so much about our life. There's so many Old Testament characters who, or people, I shouldn't say characters, because people think that they're make-believe, but they're not. They're real people who really live through these things. And so there's people that it just really challenges our thoughts and our way we should look at our life, because these people live through crazy things that should not have happened, and they should definitely not have lived through. And one of those stories is what we're going to look at today. And this story, again, is one of my favorites. I mean, I say that every time, but it is one of my favorites. And it is, the first time I ever taught it was at Hope Valley, and it was a quiet time. So it was one of my favorite ones. I had little rock people and everything. It was quite fun. But it's a story of great faith. It is a story of probably fear. It doesn't really say that in the passage, but definitely fear was going to be there. A passage full of what's the word I'm looking for? Just disheartening and yet great triumph at the end. And it's just a great picture of our faith and what our faith should look like. So if you will turn with me to Daniel chapter 3. And right there, everybody's like, I know what story he's going to tell. But that's okay. So just a little background on Daniel, which I know everybody knows, but it's important for me just to say it out loud so I know the context of the story. So, one, it is just after the exile, right? So the exile of the southern kingdom of Judah, God said, if you follow my commandments, you are going to stay in the land that I promised you. That's Israel. But if you don't, there's going to be punishment for that. And so the Babylonians came along, because they didn't follow the commandments of God. The Babylonians came along and took the people of Judah and took them into Babylonia. So that is where we're at. So we're in Babylon, and here we are. And so the Jewish, like, it's interesting because the Babylonians, instead of, like, making them be like them, they kind of emerged into this weird kind of like a melting pot of fun. So the Jews came in, but they were allowed to still be Jews, because which is important to them. And so, but there was a lot of different rules around that, right? Like you had to follow our gods and all this stuff. So it's a melting pot of fun, but yet they're still distinct peoples and they're still very different. But the King Nebuchadnezzar, he's an interesting king, isn't he? But King Nebuchadnezzar, he said, he appointed certain Jews, didn't he, to be in power over his empire, because he knew that there's a lot of strength in that, because there was a lot of Jewish people living in his kingdom and his empire, so it made a sense to appoint some of those people into power. And one of those people, well, three of those people, well, there's four of them that are made in Daniel being one of them, and then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Well, let's just look at our passage here. So in Daniel chapter 3, we're going to start at verse 1, and I'm not going to read the whole thing because there's 30 verses, and that's a lot to read, so we're not going to read the whole thing, but we're just going to start at verse 1. And here we go. So King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, whose weight was 60 cubits, and its breadth, 6 cubits. He set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar sent and gathered all the prefects and all the governors and all the counselors and all the treasurers, the justice, the magistrates, and all the officials of the province to come to the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then the prefects, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the justice, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces gathered for the dedication of the image of King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And then it says, when you hear the sound of the music, you are commanded. Okay, so we're in verse 4. So, And the herald proclaimed aloud, you are commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that when you hear the sound of the horn, the pipe, the lyre, the trigon, the harp, the bagpipe, and every kind of music, you are to fall down and worship the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall immediately be cast into the burning fiery furnace. All right, so let's just stop there for a moment. So King Nebuchadnezzar, obviously a little bit prideful, he decided that I am going to set up this wonderful image. It doesn't say if it's an image of himself or if it's an image of maybe what his dream was about in Daniel chapter 2, if you want to read about that. He had a dream about an image, and maybe that's what it was. Like, we don't really know. But anyway, it's this great big thing, and he set it up where everybody could see it, in the province, in a field, I'm guessing. And it's just big thing, and he collects all the people around him, all of his important people, the governors, and that whole list that I read like 3 times. It keeps going, right? But all of those people, he came and he said, when you hear all of these things, you're going to bow down and you're going to worship it. Now, and as we know, as people, like, worshiping idols is not a good thing. Well, it just so happens that on that very same day when, you know, like when the music started playing, there was 3 people. And I'm thinking they were probably not in the back row, right? Like, I'm guessing they're kind of somewhere where they were seen. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were standing somewhere in that group of people because they're important. They were either a governor or whatever they were. They were standing there at the dedication. When that music played, they stood there. When everybody else was falling down, they stood there. Well, there's something interesting about that, isn't there? They stood there, and they knew, like it already said, what is the punishment for that? The fiery, burning furnace. And yet there they are, just standing there. We will not do that. Let's just read one more thing. I just wanted to. Okay. So after all of that, therefore, at that time, a certain Chaldean, or a Babylonian, came forward and maliciously accused the Jews. They declared to King Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree, and every man who hears the sound of the horn, the pipe, the lyre, the trigon, the harp, the bagpipe, and every kind of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, there are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and these men, O king, pay no attention to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." Well, I don't know who this guy was. It doesn't say his name, but he did not like them. He accused them maliciously. Those three that you appointed, doesn't that sound like, oh, I don't like that idea. Like, I don't think you should have appointed any of those Jews to do any of this. But, like, you know that those three that you appointed, they did not do what they were told. What are you going to do about that, O king? Doesn't say that, but I think you can infer that. He was not very happy with the king from, first of all, making that. And he definitely wanted to see punishment for those three who didn't do it. So the king brought them forward and said, "Okay, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I will give you a second chance. This is chance number two. When you hear the music play, you are going to fall down and you're going to worship that idol. My golden image that I worked hard on and I spent a lot of money on and a lot of time on. You're going to fall down and you're going to worship that." Wow. I just want to read what it says, what they said to that, because I love it. I just lost my spot here. 16. Thank you. I love people. That's fantastic. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve our gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." This is my favorite part right here. "But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve our gods or worship your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." What amazing faith those three showed. What amazing, amazing faith that they declared right there. They said, I know for a fact, O king, that our God is very capable of saving us from that fiery furnace, from any punishment that you throw at us. I know that. No matter what, he can save us. But even if he does not decide to save us, we will still not fall down and worship your idol. That is a huge declaration of faith right there. So just imagine for a second with me. I'm sure the fiery furnace was not very far away from where the idol was set up, because that fiery furnace is probably what melted the gold that went over top of it. So it's probably not very far, so they could probably see it. And then, you know, that's a threat, right? If you do not fall down and worship this idol, then you're going to be thrown into that. They could probably see it, and it's probably a terrifying thought, right? Terrifying. There it is. That's like, if we don't do this, there it is. How many people, like, just think amongst yourselves here for a second. This world that we live in is full of idols. And it's not necessarily this great big statue that's covered in gold that's like, you know, here I am, right? Like what King Nebuchadnezzar did. Like, that doesn't necessarily have to be what an idol is, right? It's something that we put before our God, right? Our loving God. But it's something that we do. Well, and what is an interesting thought that they were like, even if We have to go through that and die, be a martyr for our God. We are not going to fall before that idol. How many times in our lives do we fall before the idols that we set up? It is so easy to get caught up in that. And something as simple as like money or something like that, you know, like something that we need to live in this world, but something that can so easily be turned into evil. It's interesting. And I think, how many times have I myself, and I mean, I'm 25 years old, so I have lots of mistakes ahead of me, I understand that. But how many times have I even fallen already? And I think, oh God, thank you for being faithful, even in my weakness. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew the faithfulness of God. They knew that even if he could save us, or even if he didn't, we're still not going to do it, because that's who our God is. He loves us that much that we can do this one thing for him, that we can just stand here and say, no way. Well, if you read on in the passage, the king, that upset him. It says that his facial expressions changed to complete rage. Oh, could you just hear his like yelling? There's a novel actually downstairs called Nebuchadnezzar's Daughter. You should probably read it. It's wonderful, and it helps with kind of some of the background of King Nebuchadnezzar and some of his, and it kind of goes into his temper. And so when I'm thinking of his rage, and I just think of that novel and his face just fuming red and probably a vein popping out of his head, just an angry, angry man, right? Furious at the fact that these three just challenged his authority in front of all the governors of the province. He was not a happy man. And it goes on to say, oh, my servants, go and make that fiery furnace seven times hotter. Which, it's probably already hot if it can melt gold, so it's going to be really hot, right? So go and do that. Make it as hot as you possibly can. Bound those men and get rid of them out of my sight. That's terrifying. I am so glad that I do not live in that time period, because that is an awful way to go. Wouldn't it be like, ooh, dear. But, so there they go. You know, and just imagine that, right? Like, so they're bound, their arms, it says their arms and their legs are bound. So I'm guessing that they can't walk themselves there. So they're going to have to be carried by the soldiers that are guarding the king, right? And it says as they were walking towards the furnace, that the people who threw them in died. That's how hot it was. That is it's a little warm, right? I was, just one quick observation. There was a movie called Dante's Peak, and it's about a volcano. And there's a hot spring up by the volcano, and it got so hot that it boiled people when they were swimming. So, and that's hot. I mean, that's hot. So imagine like you're walking towards, they were in the water, right? So imagine walking towards a fiery furnace, like a furnace, and like dying because it's so hot. That's really hot, right? That's extremely, extremely hot. It's kind of like walking, kind of, if you want, like, you know, from maybe up north into like the equator. Like extreme difference, right? Like it's insane. So, hot. But then, like, of course, King Nebuchadnezzar, being the king that he is, he's sitting there and he's watching this whole thing happen, which is kind of cruel in and of itself, right? He's watching these people being thrown in from the comfort of his throne that's set up there probably. And he's sitting there and he's watching the whole thing. And then he notices something a little bizarre about this thing. And I'm kind of like thinking, inferring this from this passage. But he's sitting there. And then he's like, weren't those men bound? And sorry, but I'm pretty sure that I threw three men in there, not four. What exactly is going on? And one little thought here, this is King Nebuchadnezzar still. What If my men who threw those three men in there died throwing them in, how are they walking around in the fiery furnace right now? How are they doing that? Huh. Bizarre. So he says, okay, bring them out to me. I need to talk to these three men. So out they come, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he, I am sure, just confused, kind of maybe a little panicked. Like, what is happening right now? These three men were brought to him, and it says they didn't even smell like fire. There was no charred hair. Their clothes were perfectly fine. They were fine. And King Nebuchadnezzar said, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, for he has delivered them from the fiery furnace. Wow. What great faith those men must have had to be saved from such a death as that. Our God is an absolutely amazing God. If he can save three men from a fiery furnace that was seven times hotter than normal, when the person who was throwing them in died from the heat, if he can do that, what can he do for us? I'll tell you what he can do for us. Our loving God sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to this earth to live amongst us, which I am sure in this room right now, like, most of us, if not all of us, are Christians. And that is an amazing thing. Thank God for that. And thank God for the gospel, right? And I'm going to continue with this thought, because it is so important for us as believers to understand the gospel. It should be the first thing on our lips and the last thing on our hearts. It is just an amazing, amazing, amazing thing. But the Lord Jesus came, and it says in Luke that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. We were lost people. And our God saw that. He saw that we were falling before different idols. We were walking away. We were going every which direction. And so he's like, I'm going to send him to bring them back to me. Isn't that just overwhelming? Isn't that just amazing that our God would do such a thing as that? In Hebrews 11, it talks about faith being the things that we believe in that we do not see. We don't see the Lord Jesus right now, do we? We can't see him. But we know what he did, what he accomplished for us. We know that because of him, our faith is secure. So I look at our group of people, and I think of the wonderful church family, and I think, wow, what faith is here? It's a great place. Our faith is strong, I think, as a group of people. I think our light shines in this community. I think that's a true thing. I think that we stand up for what we think is right, and I think that's good. But I think that there's a time coming. I was watching a video on Facebook about the unrest in Syria. And, I mean, I shouldn't watch things involving children, because they're my first love. Children, if I could be in children's ministry forever, I would. And I love them. And I look at that, and it just broke my heart. I was in tears. My Bethany's like, why did you watch it? I'm like, I don't know. I had to see. Because you hear about it and stuff, but it's just heartbreaking. And I just think of that situation, and it destroys me. And so I think, what can I do, you know? And I mean, this, what can my faith do is kind of what the connecting point that I'm trying to make here. What as a people can we do for this? Because there's a time coming that I think there'll be a lot of unrest in this world. And not just in the Middle East or not just like around the world, but even possibly here, right? And you can even already see some of it kind of coming, and it's kind of like a weird, scary thing. So, and again, I'm only 25, so I can't see anything like that much. So, and I'm sure people have seen a lot more than that. So it's just devastating and it's scary. And I think there's a time coming when we as people need to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and stand up even when the world is telling us to fall. And I think that time is going to be very soon. So I think we should pray and really just know where our faith is found. And I think of a hymn. Our faith, our hope is built on nothing less, right, than Jesus Christ. His righteousness, I think? Yeah. It's been a while since we sang that one, so I'm like, oh. But yeah, it's our hope is built on nothing less than him. And I think that's an amazing, amazing truth. Our God reigns. Thank God for that, right? Our God is alive, and he is there, and he's just so in love with us. So let's try, and it's not going to necessarily be easy all the time, let's try to put our mindset to having faith like a mustard seed, having faith like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and standing up to those scary, terrifying King Nebuchadnezzars of this world. Because there's a lot of them. And sometimes, okay, just a quick Tim Hortons story, always one. Okay, so so each Tim Hortons is kind of individually owned and operated, right? This is not a ploy for them, but we have a head office, right? Head office is like our King Nebuchadnezzar. They're not very nice. We don't like them very much. So, and they come, and they try to like tell us what we're doing wrong without telling us that they're coming. So that happened not 2 weekends ago. So the head office guy came in, and of course it's a Saturday morning during our busiest time, and he walks in and he's trying to like, you know, evaluate us. So obviously it didn't go very well because it's Saturday morning and it's crazy. And anyway. And there's only one manager on, which wasn't me, thank goodness. But it's crazy. And so all of this happened, right? And he's just doing his job, so. But he's not very nice. But anyway, but he's just doing his job, and I understand that. So when I came in on Monday morning, I look at all the complaints that he had about us, and I'm like, well, I would have argued that one, and I would have argued that one, and that one, and that one, because, like, that's not fair, right? Anyway, so I have my opportunity tomorrow to do that, because he's coming back tomorrow, because he made an appointment this time, which is nice. So I get, like, although that was kind of a silly story and a silly thought. The illustration, I think, is the point that I'm making, I'm trying to make maybe, because I talk too much sometimes and it doesn't make any sense. But the point that I'm trying to make is that sometimes in our life, our King Nebuchadnezzars aren't very big in the grand scheme of things. They're not necessarily that important, necessarily. They're not necessarily all that intimidating either. But there's still something that we need to face. I know I've told my testimony here a few times, but I mean, there's been things in my life that I've had to fight, and I've had to fight hard for. Just actually on Easter weekend, I don't know, I didn't tell anyone because I don't like to tell people when I'm sick. So I ended up being in the hospital a couple of days over the Easter weekend because I had a Crohn's flare and I was gross and I felt sick and it was awful. And so I don't like to tell people that because it happens quite often. So it's like, whatever, I'll be okay. But I was just in that time, like it's a good time to reflect because you can't really do anything when you're trapped in your hospital bed. So you have lots of time to think about, you know, the things that you've overcome, the things that you need to overcome, and the things that you should really just let go of. And is a good time of reflection. And I think that's important for everyone to do, not necessarily in a hospital bed, but just a good time to stop and just a time that we can set away, that we can stop and think of the things, those scary, intimidating things that we need to overcome. Something that we need to stand up to, someone maybe that we need to stand up to, something that we need to stand up to, something that's in our life that's causing our faith to not be what it should be. And I know that, I kind of just rambling and I apologize, but faith, if faith is something that we're sure of, that we can't see, then just imagine the day that we get to heaven and we see our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ, we see him for the first time, what that'll be like. And just, if that should bring joy to your heart, right? It's like just extremely, extremely exciting to think that person, like when we first lay eyes on him for the very first time, what is that going to feel like? What are we going to do? And there's a song and a movie about that, right? I can only imagine. But I can only imagine what that would be like. And so as I think about that and I contemplate that, I think, what am I doing here to make that experience even better? Right? Because it says that, you know, we're rewarded for the works that we do here for him. And we're rewarded for the times that we share the gospel with people. And it's just amazing. So what can I do here? What can I do here to make my faith stronger? I think that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are great examples of that. Right, they were people of power and of authority, and they had an opportunity to just follow along with everyone else. The peer pressures of that time were probably quite high, especially in a place of power. So just do that. Just fall down. It's not hard. Just worship. You don't even have to mean it. Just do it. It's going to be fine. But they didn't do that. And their expression, their explanation, their exaltation of God in those moments were amazing, right? The pressure was on, and they stayed faithful. They stayed faithful. So as we're going to be done a little early, sorry. Good thing it's sunny, right? If it was raining, everybody would be upset with me, but it's sunny, so everybody would be happy. But God, no, I forget my thought now. No, it was a good thought, too. Is it going to be my conclusion? Anyway, it's okay. God is a great God. He is faithful. He is true. And while we live in this world, let it be our challenge to be as faithful and as strong for him as we possibly can, especially in those times when you feel pressured, when temptation comes, when those King Nebuchadnezzar stand in your way. Let us be strong. Let us stand up for what we believe in, because I think there's a time that we might have to do that. Maybe it's a little sooner than we'd hoped, but let us be strong in our faith. Let us know God's word. Let us be in it. Help us to pray. Let us pray. Let us do whatever we need to do to strengthen what we have in his love, so that we might triumph for him. So that when we get to see him in his great throne room, we might even get that statement, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's what we should all long for. That should be our drive. That sentence can just encourage us to get through the hardest of times. So let's just close in prayer. Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you are faithful. We thank you for this account of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We thank you that despite the pressures of their life, despite their role in their government there, they stood up for what they believed in. And God, I just think of the pressures that we all have in this life to be successful and all of these other things. God, help us to put those aside for you. Help us to stand up what is true, what is good. And God, help us to be faithful people to a faithful God. So God, we thank you for who you are. We again thank you for this place that we can meet. And God, we thank you that we can leave here and that we might just have those thoughts on our hearts as we go through this week. And God, just protect us as we go from here. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.